We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Snapper Adam Bay, holder Connor Allen, and Gaglianone to square the game. The long snap is placed. The kick is on its way, and it is going left of the uprights. It's no good! It has missed! And the Cougars lead it! 24-21, 36 seconds to go!
And now, your only choice for local sports talk in the morning, live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio, this is Chuck and Winkler.
Ew!
Winner of three Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, I'm Bart Winkler, that's Chuck Freeman, that radio call, obviously... not touchdown Wisconsin, not even field goal Wisconsin. That's the Cougar Radio Network. BYU comes into Camp Randall 24-21. They win that game on Saturday, and now the Badgers seemingly eliminated from the college football playoff, or is it too soon to say that? 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. We'll talk some Badgers with you guys. More Brewers this hour. Where is their offense? We'll talk about that in about a half hour. It's also an Ask Chuck and Winkler Anything Wednesday. Continue to tweet your question. Ooh, I almost said something.
Yeah.
Continue to...
I haven't heard that word in a couple years.
Continue to tweet. Tweet. Wow. Tweet your questions at 105.7 FM. The Fan.
I thought you were combining two bad words there for a second.
45. I think the Badgers are done. I think the Badgers are done.
Here's the deal. I think if they do run the table, they have a shot at it. They have a shot at a national championship, getting into those final four spots. Realistically, will they do it? I mean, if you lose at home to BYU and you struggle with those other two teams, can they really beat Michigan, Penn State, go to Iowa, and win this Saturday? I mean, they might beat Iowa Saturday, but can they really run the table?
They're a three-point favorite, actually.
Can they really run the table? That's the big question mark. Maybe this team isn't as good as we thought. If they're not, then that was a major choke job. I hate using that word, choke. I do. But, Bart, you're a 24-point favorite at home. At home. You got a non-conference winning streak of like 45, longest in the country. Ain't no way, player, you should be losing to BYU at home when you got all these expectations. Either those guys were reading too much of their newspaper clippings, the coaching staff ultimately failed not having these guys ready, they weren't prepared for what BYU had in store for them, but as a program, that is a catastrophic fail on Saturday.
I was shocked watching that game. I was shocked to see, you know, there are things that you could have been worried about that came true. Is this defense as good as last year, you wonder? Can Hornibrook step up? You know, these things were already in your head, and they didn't, both of them didn't come to fruition. The way that the offensive line just got pummeled by the BYU front was, it blew my mind. There was one series where they brought in all their second stringers, and the announcers were saying, well, is this because of the heat? And it could have been some of that, but also maybe it was just because these guys were not playing well. I mean, that offensive line, they got pushed, the Badgers offensive line, the factory of offensive linemen that have made their way throughout the NFL, got pushed around on Saturday by BYU. And when you saw that happening, you started to get a little concerned. Did you have a point in that game where you thought, okay, they're probably not, this could be bad?
I did not have a good feel to the game when Rafael was lining up for the field goal try from 42. Not at all. I you know what? You don't want to rip on college kids, but he melted down there. He's made some big kicks, but
you don't want to rip on college kids, so you won't, because that dude's like 30 now.
Yeah, he is. He would call you and I sir.
Yeah.
Or we would call him sir.
There it is.
That's it. We would call him sir.
They should have let my boy Zach Hintz kick the field goal.
Oh, from Springs?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got the state record for the longest high school field goal kick.
I was there live.
At Fond du Lac Springs, did you do the play-by-play of it?
I did the play-by-play.
Oh, man.
I should try to track down that call.
That's a state record.
I called it.
Okay, yeah, that's a state record.
What an achievement in my life.
I saw it on TV, the highlight on TV. It was on ESPN.
Was it my call?
No, I just think they just showed the highlight without the call.
Oh, darn.
But that was incredible. That was at Frew Field in Fond du Lac. He's the third string kicker. He was going to be in the running for the kicker job if Rafael didn't bounce out of his early season injuries.
I thought that game was over when BYU stole Jump Around from us, and they should just retire Jump Around. Is that too hot of a take? BYU flat out stole it. Mm-hmm. Jump Around's going on third quarter. You know, BYU is going crazy. I never thought of that. You normally Jump Around is a time when it's, you know, you're up 40-0 on Illinois and you got to get the crowd back into it. So you jump around and people go nuts. And this time it was used for the opposing team to, I mean, they stole it in that third quarter. They used Jump Around in the locker room after. Mormons have been jumping around all week, man.
I was talking to the guy who covers the BYU for a newspaper out there. He was at the Packer game on Sunday. Thought he made the trip to Green Bay afterwards.
Oh, wow.
And he said, I was not even going to make the trip to Madison. He goes, we weren't even going to make the trip up here because we thought, okay. But then we thought about it and said, well, sixth-ranked team in the country, maybe. Maybe they could be at least be in the game. And sure enough, not only were they in the game, I get nervous when you see the first half and the Badgers have come out in these three games and they've struggled a little bit out of the gates. And we got a 7-7 tie and I'm like, okay, they're struggling with BYU again. I still thought they'd find a way to win the game. I really did.
Well, yeah, if you watched the beginning of the game, you thought it's just another slow start. They'll turn it around. That moment never came.
But when Hornibrook threw that pick in the second half part, I was like, oh boy.
Yeah.
It was a bad pick.
Did not have a good game. 414-799-1250. There is some precedent for a team like Wisconsin losing and still getting into the college football playoff. We'll go over that here in a couple of minutes. Want to hear from you guys. Joe is in Cedarburg. Joe, any chance they can still make the Final Four?
Absolutely not. And the reason why is Alex Hornibrook. I just don't see him leading the Badgers to college playoffs. You look at that game, and even last year, some of the games, when he's locked onto a receiver, that's who he's going to. Whether there's two guys on that receiver or four guys on that receiver, that's where he's going. His mobility isn't really there. I think he's a decent leader, but if he was a good quarterback, he would have been gone by now. He's a junior, and next year when Graham Mertz is coming, he's going to have some legit competition. The other thing is there's a guy, not on your show, but on Bill Michaels, and I think everybody knows, but he likes to call out the Hornibrook haters, and he was awfully quiet this past week. Maybe you guys should talk with him because, I mean, I just don't get it with Hornibrook. Like, is Jack Cohen that bad? Because, like, if he was better, you would think he'd be starting ahead of Hornibrook, but he's not. I don't know.
Yeah, Hornibrook, I'm beginning to sour on him, too. I just took a big dip this past week with him. I liked him coming out, and I liked him. I thought he should have started 2 years ago, and he did end up starting. And last year, I thought he was making a jump, and no, I just think, yeah, you mentioned Graham Mertz. Mertz is the four-star recruit, I believe, out of Kansas. He is going to next year give them – he's going to give them a run at the quarterback spot. He's a legit quarterback. This is one of the best quarterbacks they've had in a long time come in. So we'll see what he's all about when he comes into camp next year. But still,
there was a lot of hoopla around Hornibrook, I thought.
There
unless
was.
I'm remembering
no,
wrong.
There was a lot of but
like what we're hearing about Graham Mertz, I feel like we heard about Hornibrook.
When you think of
And then we before that, we heard that about Austin Kafensis.
Yeah, well, yeah, who really never found his way here. When you think of Badger quarterbacks who've been lightning rods, there's been two. There's this guy, Hornibrook, and, of course, the kid from Whitno, Joel Stave. Two guys who've been lightning rods among fans.
Stave, Bollinger, Samuel.
No, but those two in particular, lightning rods. Took a lot of criticism. Samuel got the job done. Bollinger got the job done. But these two right here get a lot of criticism. And Hornibrook, it's the floating passes, the bad interceptions, putting the ball up for grabs. I think that's what people just the poor passes, throwing the ball in the dirt, just his inaccuracies. I thought he'd get that corrected by now, and he still hasn't.
When locking on a receiver, that was a good point. Hornibrook's passes, don't they seem to travel? It's almost like they're traveling underwater.
Well, that's why I said they're floating.
Yeah, it's just like
he floats so his slow. That interception, we've seen that before from him. Those floating interceptions that are just dying quails up there and never make it to their receiver.
Hornibrook drops back to Danny Davis, and the ball's in the air.
And it 10 minutes later,
4.3 seconds
comes down like a chip shot.
It's going to come down, and Danny Davis is going to fair catch it for a 5-yard gain. Badgers first down.
Yeah, it is. It's just there's no zip on his balls.
Excuse me?
There's no zip on his throws. No zip on his throws.
Willie walking the borderline here. This 15.
Yeah. You can cut that one out for a drop on me.
Doug, St. Francis, 799-1250. Any shot of the Badgers making the college football playoff?
No, absolutely not. I think the previous caller, talked about Hornibrook has not improved. There's no mobility there. The guy has no talent to stretch plays out at all. But I think it's more than just him, right? It's easy to pick on the quarterback. If you look at that game, we just got pummeled on both sides of the ball on the line of scrimmage. We got gashed by BYU. Once the Big Ten season starts, the talent's up a notch at another level. There's no way they have a chance to run the table and beat Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game and get to the playoffs. I think this is almost going to turn into a semi-rebuilding year as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, that'd suck, considering there was preseason fourth-ranked team in the country. Now, Doug's still there, isn't he?
Yeah.
Do you think they don't have a shot at the national championship based on you don't think they're going to run the table or the system is going to prevent them from keeping out of the top four?
Obviously it depends what other teams do, but, Alabama and Ohio State are the darlings of the NCAA.
Mm-hmm.
It would have to be a miracle for the Badgers to have a shot at it.
Yeah. I do say this, though. There's a lot of football to be played. I mean, if Wisconsin, I don't think they'll run the table, but if Wisconsin ran the table. Bart, we see so many ups. I mean, Ohio State got beat at Iowa last year. That pretty much ended their shot at winning a national championship, even though they beat Wisconsin in the Big Ten title game. So there's going to be some upsets to be had out there. There's going to be some surprises, and we saw that right up to Thanksgiving weekend last year. But can Wisconsin hold up their end of the bargain and go unbeaten the rest of the way? I don't think that's happening.
Well, for those of you that are against the system, there is some precedent to a team like the Badgers getting in. We'll go over that, and then I'm going to squash all of those hopes and dreams with something else. We'll do that coming up in just a moment. And if you want to chime in, you're certainly free to do so. Always good to hear from you guys. 414-799-1250, the number to call. Tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. A real easy way to do investing. Investing is one of those things that if you are unfamiliar with it, it seems like it can be a difficult thing to jump into because it kind of seems complicated, honestly, at first. Well, Robinhood has come along. They've made an app that is very easy to use, and it's very beneficial for you, too. It lets you buy and sell stocks, the ETFs, the options, even the cryptos. You hear a lot about Bitcoin and some of these other cryptos. It lets you buy and sell all that kind of stuff in a very easy-to-digest way. It's a non-intimidating way for stock market newbies like Chuck and I to invest for the first time and have some confidence and know what we're doing a little bit. They do not charge you on the commissions. Sometimes it seems like the cost of the trade is more than the cost of your actual investment. It's an easy-to-use way. The website, the app, Chuck, both so clean and easy to use that it's been fun to check this out.
Yeah, I mean, because other brokerages charge up to $10 per trade, so they take their cut. But with Robinhood, they don't charge the commission fees, as you mentioned there. Then you could trade stocks, keep all your profits. Very easy to use, this app. Easy to understand charts and market data. Place a trade in just four taps on your smartphone. You download this Robinhood app, and you are underway. You can learn how to invest as you build your portfolio, discover some new stocks, trade your favorite companies. There's a news feed on there, which will keep you up to date with all the information. You can also customize the app with the notifications that you get. You know, for ball games, you got notifications. Same thing here. You're going to get custom notifications on your phone for price movements, so you'll never miss the right moment to invest.
Pretty cool. I mean, sometimes you hear talk about investing in market and fluctuation, and it goes over your head, and this is designed for, you know, guys that it goes over their head, and it's been very easy to use, and it's been a fun experience getting into this world. Robinhood is giving listeners a free stock right off the bat, like Apple, could be Ford or Sprint. They want to help you build your portfolio. Sign up at BANDC, BANDC.Robinhood.com. Just sign up at BANDC.Robinhood.com. It'll direct you how to get the app, and you'll be all set. BANDC.Robinhood.com. The path for the Badgers to make the college football playoff. Other teams have done it, lost, and got in. Could the Badgers be the next one? We'll talk about it next.
We win as a team, and everyone can own their part equally in a loss. And so we've all got to take a look at the things that we can control and how can we get better, and we've got to take those steps to get better. And that's the opportunity that we have.
Badgers head coach Paul Christ.
Bart can't try to do too much.
Oh, but I will. Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan. There is a path for the Badgers to get in. I was very adamant after this game that their path was over, that the season was lost. Because it is, it's about titles. Once this college football playoff got introduced, I don't think that you can make... I don't think there's moral victories anymore. Big Ten championships are nice. Rose Bowls, I mean, might mean something to your grandpa. I don't think that... I think it's all about the college football playoff.
I think, though, anytime a team we like loses in a big game, we have that immediate setback, like last night. The Brewers lost. Oh, I mean, how is this team going to do anything in the postseason because they can't hit? The Packers tie with Minnesota. You know, and they can't even close out that game. You know, they're not going to the Super Bowl this year. I'm just saying that's my immediate reaction. And then with Wisconsin, it's like, well, they're not going to be in the championship final four this year.
Let me lay down a little hope on all you boys and girls. Of the 16 teams that have qualified for the playoffs since it began 4 years ago, 13 of those 16 teams reached the final four with one loss. Now, no two-loss team has ever been included. However, 8 of those 13 one-loss teams lost to unranked opponents at the time of the game, including 2 every season. In 2014, Oregon lost to Arizona, while Ohio State lost its second game of the season against Virginia Tech. In 2015, Oklahoma lost to unranked Texas. Michigan State lost to unranked Nebraska. Neither of those teams actually ended up finishing with a winning record either. In 2016, Clemson lost to Pittsburgh. Ohio State lost to Penn State. And in last year, Oklahoma lost to Iowa State, and Clemson lost to Syracuse, a team that finished 4-8. So you can lose to a bad team and still get in. For me, I think that doesn't apply to a team like Wisconsin. I think it applies to Clemson. I think it applies to Alabama. We always joke, Alabama can lose a game and get in. And they will, and they do. Clemson's the same way, and I think Ohio State's the same way. The Badgers, we were at the Big Ten championship game last year wondering if the Badgers won, if they would still somehow be left out. It wasn't a certainty because there is no formula. It's a committee. There's no win your league and you're in because there's 5 major leagues and 4 spots. So there is some gamesmanship and there is some politics to it. And I ultimately think that even if the Badgers run the table, you need so many other things to happen. Basically, you need one of Alabama or Clemson to lose twice. You need Ohio State to, I think, go undefeated so you can beat an undefeated Ohio State team in the Big Ten championship. You probably need BYU to have a nice season the rest of the way. I just think you need so much else to happen to get in that I kind of already feel like this is a lost season.
Yeah, I mean, you do. There's a lot of football left to be played, though. The conference season has to start. Wisconsin, first of all, they'd have to go unbeaten, which I don't think is going to happen. They have to go unbeaten the rest of the way, and including beating Ohio State in the Big Ten title game. All that, I mean, they got just a huge mountain to climb on their own deal. Just to win the Big Ten title is going to be tough. It might be tough winning the Big Ten West the way things are looking now. It's going to be tough winning at Iowa on Saturday night. So all those things, taking care of their own is tough, and then all those factors you mentioned there. I still think as long as they don't lose any conference games, which is a big if, as long as they don't lose any conference games, Bart, they have a shot at one of those Final Four spots. I think there's going to be there's going to be some more upsets along the way. There's going to be some surprises, and there's going to be some upsets. And there's a lot that could happen between now and Thanksgiving weekend. But I just don't – even if that doesn't happen, I don't think Wisconsin is going to run the table and win the rest of their games.
Yeah, they just don't seem good enough.
No, I mean, going to Michigan, going to Penn State –
losing to BYU is one thing. It's one thing. Losing to BYU at home is one thing, but they got beat. I'm just still so shocked. I have never seen an offensive line get beat up like that from Wisconsin. I've never seen that.
You can't have a 24-point underdog come into your house and beat you.
Physically beat you.
You can't. Yeah.
Not just by the score, but beat you down.
Because that's we're going to be talking as long as Wisconsin stays unbeaten. And the guests that we have on the show and you and I talking about in the callers, we're always going to go back to that game, how they just got dominated by BYU. They were lucky to keep it as close as they did. Now, BYU, also, you know, you kind of mentioned there, yeah, they can't – we'd have to be cheering for BYU to have a good season, that they don't go out and have a 4-9 season as a result of this. Now, they're 2-1. They had one loss. I think they beat Arizona and lost to Cal coming into Camp Randall, but real early at this point, but already the Badgers are playing from the back in back of the proverbial eight ball because of a non-conference loss. I mean, if anything, you want to go down losing to a good team. If you're going to get eliminated from the college football playoff, you don't want to do it before even before conference play starts. You put yourself in a bad spot.
We'll talk to Ben Wergel about this tomorrow. 6:35, more on the Badgers' chances. Let's talk to Mike right now in Franklin. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. That loss is absolutely devastating. BYU wasn't even ranked, and then to get absolutely smoked at home is really scary. And then they're missing their top two cornerbacks, their top wide receiver. The offense really, besides Jonathan Taylor, hasn't shown anything. And the offensive line getting dominated as badly as it did. Oh, my goodness. And then you guys also mentioned Iowa. Iowa's a very good team, guys. They're actually on a roll, and I could see the Badgers losing to Iowa at Iowa because Iowa, like I said, is a good team and is on the roll. And after that, all bets are off. I'd be surprised if the Badgers finish in top 20 after that loss.
Yeah,
so I don't think they're going anywhere. Top 20 finish at best.
Yeah, I mean Iowa's their quarterback. I like it. He's from Wisconsin. He's from Menominee, up by Eau Claire. The name escapes me right now, but he's been around for a little bit. Good quarterback. Probably better than Hornibrook at this point. So I don't, winning this game at Iowa, if they play like they did against BYU, they're going to get smoked at Iowa.
Nate Stanley, I looked it up.
Nate
I remember
Stanley.
That from last year's game. Yeah. Remember that.
Yeah.
The game that they played against BYU, that's the kind of game I expected against Iowa. You know, I'm supposed to go to this Badger party. There's a Badger party that was this
7:30 game starts.
Right, and I was expecting to watch like a undefeated and be real into it. And now it's going to be more. Oh, how are they doing?
Yeah, okay. I mean, there's no doubt.
Can I have another captain.
That loss to BYU has taken some steam off some of these games going into conference season, and I think this is why some of these schools schedule cupcakes. Because they don't want to have happen what happened to Wisconsin.
But that's the argument that the strength of schedule is an argument against Wisconsin getting in because they are scheduling cupcakes. They don't have the opportunity to bolster their resume with a nice win here in the first 3 weeks. So they beat New Mexico.
But they have, though, in from 2014 to 2016, they had LSU in two of those 3 years, and the other year they had Alabama. So that
and
was
when they scheduled BYU. BYU was good at the time when they set that matchup.
Yeah.
Then they got bad last year and are recovering and obviously not terrible this year.
You know, my problem is if, you know, like Iowa went out and played Northern Iowa, and I get that, you know, it's in-state, but, you know, Wisconsin, if they're scheduling Northern Illinois, I got, well, not maybe not Northern Illinois. Northern, their program has been pretty good. Let's say if they schedule a 1AA team, Southern Illinois, to come in, that's where I have an issue. And, you know, you look at Alabama's non-conference schedule, it's terrible. But obviously, you get to the SEC, and you know, we saw them take out Ole Miss on Saturday night. They're awesome. But, again, you have this one non-conference loss, and it sucks because you look at the game against Iowa. We should be all fired up about this game against the Hawkeyes, but I'm like, eh. Give me another Captain and Coke.
Diet Coke.
Neutralize that.
Dr. Pepper.
Neutralize that Captain by give me some diet in there.
Captain's not a drink you drink without a mixer.
I'm just not a big fan of Captain and Coke, or Diet Cokes.
How do you like gin and tonic? I had a gin and tonic last night at the game.
Did you?
Because it's my brother's drink of choice.
Okay.
My 25-year-old brother loves G&Ts.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think I've really ever had it.
Well, why don't you bring some in tomorrow and we'll...
Well, should we? That'll spice up the show.
Yeah, why not? It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins. Again, more on the Badgers tomorrow. Ben Wergel, 6:35. The Brewers last night. Well, your big play of the game, your chance at Money to Pato. And then this offense. This offense is bad, Joe.
Yeah. I got a real problem with this offense because we look at the bats. I see the lineup every night and I'm like, man, okay, there we go. That's at least a 5 spot on the board. And then we have nights like last night. They go out and get Moustakas. They go out and get some of these guys, make some moves, scope, and you know they lay another egg offensively. And they've done this. They've lost 3 of 4 now, and it's because their offense can't get going.
Yeah, and it might get even worse. We'll tell you about that coming up. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Brewers fans, what was yesterday's Potawatomi big money play of the game? Be the first to know at 799-1250, and you'll win $25 in rewards play. Find your win at Potawatomi Hotel and Casino. Visit paysbig.com. This is Chuck and Winkler on the only station Brewers fans need, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. Brewers lose last night 3-1, but we always find a big money play of the game. What did Tim and Billy come up with last night? 799-1250. You listen to the postgame show, and then you tell us, and it's an easy way to get some reward play at Potawatomi. Potawatomi is not going to give you money this easily. We will. Felix, Bayview, what do you got for the big money play of the game?
That'd be Craig Counsell managing the bullpen.
Let's see.
Your Potawatomi big money plays of the game. How about the bullpen management by Craig Counsell? Outstanding. That's big money with Potawatomi.
All right. Thanks, Tim. And congrats, Felix, to you. Brewers lose last night 3-1. Talk about that in just a moment. Don't forget, it's also an Ask Chuck and Winkler Anything Wednesday. About 1 hour from now, we will answer the questions that come in via Twitter. You can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan with the hashtag AskCW, and we'll read your tweet on the air and answer your question. Anything as ridiculous as you can come up with, even if you think it's stupid, we'll answer it, and we'll do that coming up in about an hour. The big question regarding the Brewers, Chuck, is what do you do about the offense? Lorenzo Cain, if he's hurt for a while, that's going to be a problem. Travis Shaw getting hit in the knee last night, having to leave the game too. This is an offense, when you look at it, they made the moves, basically punting defense, saying the starting pitching we have is fine, we're going to win games by scoring runs, and against these teams, the Pirates and the Reds, they're not winning games because they're not scoring runs.
No, I mean, offensively, they should be scoring some runs. At the ball game last night, and I walking around, met a guy, ran into a guy who I knew, and he comes up to me and says, boy, Chase Anderson's terrible. And this was like in seventh inning. And I said, well, Chase didn't lose this game for them. He gave up the first inning 2-run home run, But, you know, at the time, they had one hit on the board. So you got one hit on the board. How are you going to win any games with that? I mean, the bullpen and Chase, okay, Chase wasn't great, but this wasn't on him at all, and this wasn't on the bullpen. The bullpen went out there and did its job and put out any fires anytime the Reds had a rally going on. So you got to score some runs. You can't win. You can't win games like you can't. You're not going to go far in the postseason getting three hits, scoring two or three runs in a game, and putting all the pressure on your pitching staff and your bullpen to get it done night after night. I don't know. I want somebody to explain to me what's wrong with this offense, Bart, because whether it's you, callers, or whatever, I don't get it.
414-799-1250. If you need further proof that Chuck was at the game last night, you can check out the Twitter feed of our insider, Adam McKelvey. Brewers.com, MLB.com. He joins us Mondays at 8. Don't forget to miss that. Don't forget to not miss that. Mondays at 8. Even with the Packers going on, we're still talking to Adam Mondays at 8 because the Brewers are entangled into this race. Mondays at 8, Adam McKelvey here on The Fan. Took a picture of you, Chuck. The man who's on the air at dawn is the last one working in the press box. Our hero, Chuck Freeman. It's a picture of Chuck in the press box. You are the last one there. Your Diet Mountain Dew sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
Your notes sitting there. You on the laptop. It's both lonely and beautiful.
It is.
At the same time.
It was late. It was late, and, you know, I just had to, you know, this is the pennant race. I mean, it's fun going to the ballpark, whether it's as a media member or as a fan. Meaningful baseball in September. Driving to the game last night, and I was telling Shannon and her dad, I was just like, man, this is great because there's been so many times I've gone out to cover a game at Miller Park at this time of the year, and it's meaningless, or it's more important for the other team to win or lose or whatever, but not for the home team. So I'm still loving the fact that we're still in a pennant race here. But gosh, last night, I mean, they've lost three of four, and these three losses are because the offense has been stuck in mud. They're 20 games over the 500 mark. Where would they be if they could just score some runs, Bart?
Well, and I think this gives more credence to the Christian Yelich should be the MVP debate because they go as he goes. I mean, he didn't have a jaw-popping night last night. Did he even have a hit? No,
he had a hit.
For four, two strikeouts.
But, he came up there in the ninth inning, guy on first base, and struck out against the Reds closer, the hard thrower. Yelich can't expect them to do it all the time. I mean, how many times are the Brewers going to put it on Yelich to come through and that he's done this season? You know, baseball doesn't work that way. It's not like the NBA where you give the ball to Jordan or Giannis or whatever, and, you know, hopefully good things will happen. Baseball, I mean, you need everybody in that lineup to function. Having Yelich having the year he has is not going to make these guys win ball games.
Curtis Granderson's been getting some starts lately,
mm-hmm.
which has been good to see, but it's also coming at the expense of Ryan Braun, who I don't feel like, and I'll look up his game log here, but I don't feel like we've seen a lot of Ryan Braun in the last few weeks.
Yeah, no. And I was hoping by resting him all those times they did early in the season that he'd be fresh for September. But I think also they got Granderson. And they think Granderson's a pretty good option. Granderson defensively has made some great plays out there. Running the base paths well. Got on in the ninth inning last night. It's just still a little surreal to see Grandy at the top of the order with the Milwaukee Brewers. Because we known him for so many years being a Met or a New York Yankee, and of course the Tigers before that, but you know, that's a little surreal. But it is. I mean, it's great to have him on this team. He's been beneficial to the team. But the Brewers have such a good bench too. I mean, in the lineup, you know, off the bench, they're bringing Domingo in as a pinch hitter. They're bringing Ryan Braun as a pinch hitter. You know, Keon, you know, he played in center field last night after Kane went out of that game. But they got some bats coming off that bench. They had Thames, who looked terrible at the plate. They got guys who you could go to a lot of pitchers, and you got some depth in that team, but, man, they struggle offensively.
This lineup, man, they went out to build an offensive juggernaut.
There's guys on the bench, Bart, who should be in the everyday lineup.
Domingo.
Yes.
Braun.
Yes.
They've got
Thames.
Jonathan Schoop. They've got Mike Moustakas. Here's their lineup a year ago yesterday. This is the Brewers lineup a year ago yesterday. I love doing this because last night when you look at the lineup, you're like, what? If you looked at it a year ago, you'd say, huh?
Eric Sogard, Neil Walker, Ryan Braun, Travis Shaw, Eric Thames, Hernan Perez, Stephen Vogt, Brent Phillips, Brett Suter.
That lineup is so much better this year.
I think I said Brent Phillips, Brett Suter. Let's flip-flop those around.
The lineup is so much better.
Yeah, and that team was right in the thick of it.
Yeah.
Somehow.
So how is this team not scoring any runs?
414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. We do want to hear from you. Let's play manager. Let's play doctor. Let's try to figure out how we fix the Brewers' offense. We'll do that in a moment. Perkins, happy to fix you a meal, and they want to get back to basics when they do. The hearty breakfast combos, the piled high sandwiches, the juicy 100% Angus beef burgers, they're all at Perkins. They've got a new menu full of your old favorites, and it starts at just $4.99. If it's a classic, it's at Perkins. Sign up at PerkinsRestaurants.com for their weekly e-club email where you get the buy one, get one every Wednesday. So every Wednesday you'll get a meal, and then when you buy one, you get the free one. That's how a buy one, get one works. We're all familiar. Perkins on top of that, too. Sign up at PerkinsRestaurants.com. How do you fix the Brewers' offense? 799-1250. We've got our ideas. We'll hear yours coming up next.
Best Brewers coverage. This is Chuck and Winkler. So who got business done on the field? This segment is brought to you by Granville Improvement District. Granville. Feel the energy and the power. GranvilleBusiness.org.
You know, we got more pressure has to be put on the other team for sure. You know, tonight we just, like I said, there was nothing really happening tonight. I don't know if we had a significant rally really all night.
That's like as critical as Craig Counsell will get about his team in the media, at least. Who got business done here on Chuck and Winkler? Not the Brewers' offense. That's the problem. The Brewers' offense had a nice explosion, 8 runs on Monday, but in these last 2 series against teams that aren't as good as them, Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, they really are not getting it done.
Now, did you take that soundbite from last night's game, Sunday's game, Saturday's game, last Tuesday's game? What game did you take that one? Because you could use that same soundbite for, man, bushels of games this year.
It's actually Ron Renicki's voice. I modulated it to sound like Craig.
I don't remember Ron Renicki's office even struggling because Renicki would have bad pitching. But with Craig, man, how many times does he say, well, quiet night or offense? It just, you know, we couldn't get anything going. We didn't even have any rallies going. Many, many nights. And last night, you're seeing one hit on the board for the longest time in that game. It's like, come on, they're better than this offensively.
799-1250. So how did they get better than this? Let's go to Tom in Cedarburg. What's up, Tom? Chuck and Winkler on The Fan.
How you doing, guys?
Tom, how are you?
Very good. I'll tell you, if they don't, the pitching has been great, but if the pitching starts going downhill, how are they ever going to win a game?
My theory is, and I've been watching them all year, obviously, I think that they don't make contact enough. You know, they're kind of an all or nothing offense. Not an extreme version of it, but I just, you know, I'd love to see them, you know, in an inning, 3 batters hit ground balls consecutively. They're all flyouts or strikeouts. As far as how getting better, I think we just have to hope for somebody getting hot. I mean, it's already September 19. They are who they are, and I think we ride what they have. So those are my thoughts. I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Tom, for the call, 799-1250.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like we're going to expect here in the last few weeks of the season, Bart, for them to get hot offensively, but they are who they are. This is it, and I don't know why he said maybe they are swinging for the fences. Well, that's baseball. A lot of teams are – that's why you see the low batting averages in the National League. Many guys going for the fences, and the way to play the game right now is settle for the 3-run homer.
Well, the rally that they had on Sunday afternoon, they were down 3-0, 9th inning, and then all of Wisconsin quickly turned from Fox to Fox Sports Wisconsin. All right, the Packers tie. Let's see what the Brewers are doing. Down 3-0, great. Jesus, home run. Mm-hmm. Domingo, home run. And then Ryan Braun, first cut. He was going for the fence,
sure,
man. And the way the Brewers are going to come back in a 3-run deficit is the long ball. And this has been this team for a long time.
And that's the way they would have won that game last night, the bottom of the ninth inning. That's how they would have won the game. They put Granderson aboard, and they had the big boys coming up, and they couldn't get it done.
Matt tweets in, you guys want to fix the offense at 105.7 FM, The Fan? Consistency.
The two best hitters on the team are Kane and Yelich. Also, they're the only two guys that are in the lineup every day. I understand matchups, but I think the Brewers do that too much. It's hard for guys to get into a groove.
That was an early season argument, and that's right. He's right. It is tough, I think, changing the lineup every day. There's some fascination with having Hernan Perez in the lineup every day at the expense of somebody else, and I just don't quite understand it.
Frank says pressure's getting to these guys. This is where the veterans need to step up, get big hits.
But, Bart, if the pressure, it's been like this all season, hasn't it? Offensively. This goes back to the argument you and I had, should they go out and get some pitching or get some offense? I said, you know, offense, you said pitching. And I was like, well, if they get pitching, you're still not going to score any runs. It turns out lately they're having enough pitching, but, man, great pitching is not going to help them score runs to win a game.
Joe's in West Bend. Let's go to West Bend. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. You know, you guys started to hit on it, I think, a little bit. You know, it's a Major League Baseball issue, I think, because you got this new or this concept of this launch angle and, let's say, home run. And if you look at on Baseball Reference, I'd be curious if you guys could research this a little bit more because I only took about 10 minutes to do it. But since home runs have been up, average runs per game have been actually down, strange enough, right? So what you're seeing is these teams will go off and score 6-7 runs in a game because they'll hit 2 or 3 home runs, and then they'll go the next game and they won't score any because there's no home runs hit. And if you look at teams' lineups, most of these guys are hitting 240 and 250. Everybody talks about Kane and Yelich. They don't buy into this launch angle concept, and they hit for high averages, and they're on base for them. So that all plays into consistency and consistency scoring on offense. And when you talk about who they picked up, you look at who they picked up. They picked up Moustakas, who's what, another 250 hitter? And they picked up Strope, who's another 250 hitter. They didn't get better in that category. They just got guys that hit more home runs.
And he's not even scratching 200 here in the National League, Jonathan Strope.
Yeah. Yeah. He said a couple of big runs. Huh? He said a couple of big home runs. And
three different.
What the hell? He's at a capital.
Is that you or me?
No, it's you.
Yeah, I got Baseball Reference up here.
Pop up windows.
Jeez. Somebody donate to that website so that I can afford to have it up without
a million pop ups.
Three pop ups.
I went to a website the other day and pop ups are coming all over, and it's like I couldn't even get to the website. It's like I don't have time to be downloading.
Chuck, you should go into hidden mode or incognito mode.
Done that
for those websites.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think you could do it.
I was on a website the other day, and a ton of pop ups came up. What kind of website could that have been, Freeze?
Oh no, it was a good one.
Not leaving much to the imagination.
No, it was something along the line. Baseball
was a good one.
Reference.com.
Okay. Okay.
It wasn't. Are you lonely tonight? Women within 2 miles of your residence in Lomira.
BaseballTube.com. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. We just put a poll up on Twitter, and we'll have the results of this.
There's no way that woman lives in Lomira.
Hot singles right nearby,
sure.
Friends have told me. We just put up a poll on Twitter. What are you more worried about, the Brewers offense?
She moved the town.
Or the Packers defense? We'll see where you guys' heads at on that one coming up. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.